for Jesus, Lord. Father, we don't thank you for man, Lord. We don't thank you even for a gift as much as we thank you for Jesus. Lord, without you, none of this means anything. But Father, we give you the glory. And Father, right now, Lord, we're here gathering in the assembly as you told us to do. And Father, I guarantee you there's needs out here. Father, I guarantee you there's hearts in different stages of issues, different stages of sanctification, different stages of deliverance. And Lord, I ask you through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Father, to allow words to be uttered in such a way and allow heart to be prepared in such a way that you're glorified, that you're exalted, and that change comes. And we thank you because you're the only one that can do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do we have any water? If not, it's okay. Thank you, Lord. A little story about myself, actually my family. Years ago, we were in a situation where we wanted to serve the Lord in peace. And I've told y'all in times past, we had a father that was literally possessed by demons. And he went on to commit suicide. And I pray that in that fraction of a moment, he maybe gave his life to the Lord. Thank you, bro. And but meanwhile, during that same season, our family had snuck to pray. We literally had to sneak to read the Bible. And when he would come home, we would hurry up and turn the channel from Christian TV because there would be a crazy eruption. Or we would shut the Bible and hide it because it would really be off the hook if he seen it. And it was truly demons that was controlling him. Well, my point in telling you this is there was literally a stone of opposition to some hearts that wanted to serve God. Amen. And God himself rolled the stone away. We looked back years later and thought, we beg God, could you just allow us? I mean, we at that time, now we want bigger things. Give me a bigger house, car, better job. But back then it was simple things. Lord, just let us be able to go to church without anybody fighting us. And you know what? We look back years later when we moved and we said, you know what? God's really delivered us. Amen. And you know, there's stories like that out in here. It may not have been a father stopping you from going to church. But you know, some of us was hooked on drugs. Some of us was hooked on self. Some of us was liars. Some of us was cheaters. And how many of you know there's testimonies in the house of God that God rolled the stone away? Amen. He took that opposition because how many of you have ever tried to worship the Lord and there's something in the way? Amen. We're going to talk about that today. A lot of times it's religion. It's religious thinking. It's a religious mindset. Even when you're in a church where you have the message of the cross, which is the purest form of the gospel, in my opinion, that there is. But let me tell you something. You could be right up under it, just like his disciples were right up under Jesus Christ, and you could still not believe or believe a part, not the other part. Turn in your Bible to Mark's gospel. We're going to start in chapter 15. I don't have a long word today, but I have a word. Amen. Mark 15, and we're going to start at verse 42. And this is when our Savior was being buried. Amen. How many of you know this was a great time for these people? The irony behind death at this time in our own pastor. But during this same time, they lost a great leader, loved one, Savior, Messiah, King. You know, he met needs for them. They seen withered hands become unwithered. They seen eyes open up. They seen so much in raw form. I was talking to somebody this morning, a friend who's another brother in the Lord, and we were talking about what a great time frame it is to be alive. Church, I don't know if you realize that God's got us in the fourth quarter with less than 10 seconds on the clock. Amen. But how many know it would have been great to have been put in here in, you know, Moses' day to see the parting of the Red Sea? Man, that would have been awesome. Or to be walking with Jesus and see those eyes open up, to see the stone be rolled away. Amen. That had to be awesome. But even though we're reading a story that's going to be great, I believe we're in the greatest time frame there is to be alive. And we were all hand-selected. Amen. God knows that you have just what it takes to reach this generation. And he did it in a time when there would be the greatest deception on the face of the earth. Even it pales to even look at the dark period. It even pales in the deception of the early church, that the Son of Man, would he even find the faith on the earth when he comes back? But he put us in here. Amen. So there's a word to extract from this that pertains to our situation. Because how many know there's still stones to be rolled away? Somebody needs a shot on that. Amen. But starting at verse 42, it says, "And now, when the evening was come, because it was the preparation that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought him linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone in front of the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, beheld where he was laid." Stop right there. Why did the Holy Spirit even interject that she knew where he was laid? I asked God that today. So what's the point in even saying she knew where he was laid? Because, you know, you can know the gospel and not believe the gospel. Amen. Some people will take Jesus and the fact that he was crucified and the fact that everything he did answered the legal debt for our sanctification and our justification, for our healing, for our mental health. Amen. But you could know that he was laid there, but still not believe that he's coming out. Somebody understand where I'm going. Amen. You may hear the word and know where he's at, but there still may be a blockage there. Let's keep on reading. Chapter 16. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Stop right there. The Lord showed me this is a picture of those that have a heart to worship Jesus. I was really touched last week when Pastor said, "Everybody ain't going in the rapture." Sounds harsh, but you know what? Everybody that claims deliverance and the rapture experience, it ain't happening. He said, you have to have the right key and the right song to even enter into worship with God. How many really love Jesus, are in love with Jesus? Amen. This is the picture of someone who has a love for Jesus Christ. And if you, under the sound of my voice, and you may be in this room, you may have clicked on our website and chose to listen to this. You might have a CD that was given to you. But if you love Jesus Christ, amen, and you know that your life is in shambles and that there's nothing else that could fix it but what he did on the cross, how many of you know you may not understand everything about this gospel, but he'll show you what you need, amen? He will show you. He will roll the stone away, hallelujah. And you need to understand that you can't do it, hallelujah. But she wanted to anoint him with spices. She wanted to magnify him and know to adore him. We was in prison the other day. Chaplain Coleman talked about adoring Jesus. Amen. Come, let us adore him. What is it to adore Jesus? That's to take spices and rub it on him, amen? That's to take it and say, you are. Maybe I see tears in this scenario, amen? Maybe she wanted to go in and say, we loved you so much, Jesus. Maybe she wanted to go in and just put her, cry and take her hair and clean him and make sure it's a proper burial, amen? Maybe you have in your mind that this Jesus that saved you, amen, deserves to be exalted and lifted up. I don't care where I'm at, amen? Maybe you're in a grocery store today, and maybe you something comes over you, and you say, I got to give him some praise. Hallelujah. Maybe you're in church, and the person sitting next to you just maybe isn't going to praise him like you want to, but something inside says, Lord, I'm going to get up and shout. Hallelujah. Why? Because I don't deserve none of this, but you did it for me. Amen. This is the picture of those that wanted to come in. Amen. They wanted to come in and anoint him. Hallelujah. In chapter 16, verse 2, it says, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, and they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Stop right there. The title of this message is, who shall roll away the stone? And you know, that's the question. I thank God that she didn't say what. Can we go to Lowe's department store and get one of them backhoes and is there some sort of stick big enough to... She knew that it took somebody, amen, greater than herself, amen. And you know, when you first get that realization, something happens for an individual. When you first realize that there's nothing I can do, amen. There's nothing I can do when you give up. There's people in here that are going through health issues. And I thank God, I hate to air you out, Brother Emerson, but I'm going to do it, amen. My friend here, he told me the other day, he said, you know what? It's got to take the Lord. And you know, sometimes God will take you down a road where things just are so insurmountable, you set up for an opportunity, amen. The devil wants us to look at it like it's so bad. Oh my God, how am I going to pay this bill? You know what? It's a prime opportunity to give up and let Jesus Christ roll the stone away. Amen. You may have children that are out on the street today and you say, I've tried to reach them. We had family members in our family. We would have family forums. We'd get together. And I even had one time I opened up the door and body slammed him. I thought maybe that's what it would take. You know, in raising kids, sometimes we whoop a little harder. And what is it going to take? How many of you know we need a stone rolled away? Amen. We need a stone rolled away. Some of you might have mountains of bills laying on your desk, and you're like, how in the world am I going to do it if I got $2,000 coming in and I need $5,000 going out? How many of you know you need a stone rolled away? Amen. Some of you might have a health situation where they tried everything and everything seems to fail. And you say, I need a stone rolled away. Amen. Well, what you got to do is go get some oil. Hallelujah. Go get a mindset. Hallelujah. Go get a thinking that says, I know that I don't deserve none of it, Lord. If I were to pass today, if they were to take my house today, amen. If they were to take my mind today, you've been so good, amen. There's a song on the radio that said, if I never got to see another place, if I never got to visit Rome, it says you've been so good, amen. If he were to take my house today, if he were to put me back in my car, Lord, I still got to give you praise. I'm going to anoint you with oil, amen. I'm going to take these things and these incense and this myrrh, and I'm going to take these spices and I'm going to rub you down because you're worthy. Hallelujah. And that's the mindset. And she said, who? When I was looking quickly in my Bible, I like what Brother Swaggart had about the term that they said, who's going to do it? They continually said it. They continually said it. This was a think tank that they had. These people got together and consulted people. How do you know the body of Christ does that? The body of Christ, you could go down each denomination from Foursquare. I heard a message this morning where brother was talking about the Foursquare denomination, how was McPherson started with such a great healing, you know, revivals and things that God really used this woman. Yes. And things just really was amazing at that time. But how many of you know the leaders of the Four Square denomination know that there's a stone? Amen. How many of you know we could look at Church of God? Great time of an outpouring years ago. But how many of you know the leaders in the Church of God know that there's a stone? How many know divorce is equally, if not surpassing, in the church as it is outside the church? How many of you know Percocets and drug addiction are just about the same in the church as outside of the church? How many of you know sex and promiscuity is just the same in the church as outside of the church? How many of you know there's a stone, amen? There's a stone, and we could go down each and every denomination, and they're going to all tell you the same thing. We need help. But what happens in these think tanks when you get together and say, who can do it? Most people are saying what, first of all. Most people say what? And my mind goes to Paul, where he said, the good that I would, I don't understand why. And that which I don't want to do, I'm doing. But the next breath, he said, who, hallelujah, shall deliver me, hallelujah, from this body of death? He said, who, if the church would just get away from the what and go to the who, there's something that's going to happen, hallelujah. Amen. And this group was saying, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? And you know, I avidly reject the concept of the 12-step program because it was founded by demon spirits. But I will tell you this, truth is stumbled upon at times. Amen. You don't have to be Galileo to know that gravity exists. All you got to do is get hit in the head with an apple. Hallelujah. With just Newton. And you figure it out. But how many of you know one of the first steps in the 12 steps says you must realize that a power greater than yourself. How many of the world got enough sense to know that you got to give up? But how many of you know we here under the gospel, the sincere gospel, where you take the cut off of it? Me and Brother Emerson was talking about this the other day, that even, you know, when I went through my surgery, they gave me some Percocets. They gave me some Percocets. I don't know if any of you ever had Percocets. Oh, my God. Whew, I see why people get addicted. But let me tell you something. If you look at what's in it, there's a chemical called oxycodone. And there's different degrees, different milligrams. And they had me under this. When I first went into surgery, because of my diabetes and everything, they were afraid to give me too much of everything because your breathing could actually slow down. They could put you in a death situation. And they just were like, sorry, we have so much anesthesia to get you under. We're not going to give you that push button like you want. You're getting, instead of this much per push button, you're getting this much. And it took 20 push buttons before I could even get some relief. It was so bad and so agonized. I was mad. I wasn't in there shouting the glory. I was in there calling people like, you lied to me that this wasn't going to hurt. And 20 push buttons was going to take so long that I said, you know what, just forget it. I just dealt with the pain and was very mad for 2 days. But how many know on the third day, they gave me Percocets. They gave me Percocets. And when they gave me these Percocets, they were getting me ready to go home. And they said, this is what we're going to give you the script of. And she gave me two, and I thought, well, I've been in so much pain, this is probably another underdosed attempt to fix my pain. But something happened around 10, 15 minutes where that codone starts to go, oh, yes. And I was like, let's take a walk, honey. I think I can walk. I think I can do this, and I think I could do that. But, you know, they cut the codone with simple Tylenol. Tylenol is they can't just give you codone, so they give you Tylenol. How much, kind of like gold usually is cut with some other alloy. But when you take the gospel out of your message, all you giving me is Tylenol. Amen. I don't need Tylenol. I'm in pain. Amen. Don't give me Tylenol. I come for some Tylenol if I got a headache. I come to your church and you give me a mamby-pamby message if I just, you know, feeling a little bad today. But if I come to your church, amen, and I'm about to blow my brains out, if I come to your establishment and I'm consulting a divorce, amen, if I'm coming and flipping channels to your program and I'm really in the limbo of doing something drastic, don't give me the cut message, amen. Give me the oxycodone, amen. Give me Jesus Christ and him crucified. Give me the answer. Hallelujah. I don't need your cut. I done had enough cut. Give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Give me what he did and tell me how insufficient I am to solve it. But back to this. These ladies had the think tank. And so many times in the think tank, people start to come up with the what's. Let's put a circus out here in this driveway. And you know what's going to happen? We'll get attendance. Well, praise God. Tylenol. You know, let's throw a big party every Tuesday. You know, we call it Bridge Night. You know, the community likes bridge. Tylenol. Amen. Who? What? But something happens when that individual who's putting the myrrh and the spices on Jesus, and they know that he was my only hope, amen? And you might have a little unbelief, amen, because how many of you know God knows our situation? He knows these frail bodies we have. Even the faith that you've been successful in, you owe it to God. Even the so-called faith success story, you still owe that to God. Why? Because there's nothing good in you. It's his faith. Hallelujah. But there's something special when you look at him and you realize the situation between you and him and the vast difference. And the body of Christ right now is making it all the same. But when you realize there's such a huge difference, he'll show you. And let's keep reading. If you read verse, let's read 3 and we'll keep going. It says, and they said amongst themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? In verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. Glory to God, for it was very great. That situation was huge. The drugs addiction was huge. The children that wouldn't come home was huge. That mountain of bills was humongous. That health situation was huge. And it said in verse 5, in entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were afraid. Stop right there. I asked the Lord about that. And you know what that is? That fear that comes. When the gospel comes, it's really hard to swallow. Amen. And I'm not talking about when you first got saved and somebody told you that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he's your only answer and you take that at face value and you know where he was laid, pretty much. But we're going to read farther that he already told her he was coming out. Amen. He already said, I'm coming back in the third day. Why are you so afraid? Why are you really don't believe? You really don't believe. And that's where the church is today. This ain't no new message. The cross ain't new. The cross is the original message. Amen. In fact, you ain't preaching nothing if you ain't preaching the cross. Amen. But the cross is the story from Genesis to Revelation. Behold the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. Every lamb that was cut was pointing to the cross. Amen. Every time Paul gave him a story that in Christ, you're this and that. By Christ, you're this and that. For Christ, you're this and that. Through Christ, he was talking about through inference what he did on Calvary. He didn't have to say that. It was included. It was implied. So this is not new. This is the gospel. Amen. But even though we've heard the gospel, sometimes we just know where he was laid, but we really don't believe he's coming out. Amen. We don't have the faith to really grab it. But how many of you know he is merciful? Hallelujah. We serve a God that doesn't condemn because I second-guessed him about that check. Because I second-guessed him about, is my car going to last another 6 months? Because I second-guessed him on that promotion, amen? Because I second-guessed him, am I really in the right job today? Because I second-guessed him on, are my kids coming home? He forgives you, amen? But he's going to teach us, hallelujah, because he's a good God. And it says in verse, where we at, y'all? Verse 6. And he said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Somebody say, he is risen. Woo! He is risen. Give God a hand. Somebody needs to shout. He's risen. Amen. Buddha's not risen. Confucius isn't risen. Hallelujah. Muhammad is not risen. But Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Everything he said he would do, he did it. And the resurrection is a point of celebration. And we're sometimes accused that we deny the resurrection. Oh, no. The resurrection is the point to shout. Amen. Because that's proof positive that everything he did worked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the receipt. Hallelujah. You ever tell somebody to go pay your phone bill or, hey, go to the store and pay my electric bill or whatever. But something about getting a receipt just, woo, you know what I'm saying? Especially when some people that I know, you give them $250 and tell, you better show me a receipt. But how many know when he rose, hallelujah, the receipt, hallelujah, paid in full. Glory to God, he did it, hallelujah. And he's the only one that could do it, hallelujah. But he said, don't be afraid. He said, he is risen, hallelujah. Isn't that? But he is risen. Behold, the place where they lay him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. That's a whole nother message. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. And he said, as he said unto you. And we're going to stop there. As he said unto you. See, it's not new. The gospel isn't new. The gospel, he already said it. He already said that our sanctification is in Christ. Then why are you using self-help? He already said that we were blessed with him through your what did Paul say? That my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ was the cross. He already said that the cross paid it. So why did you try to tie $50 to the guy on TV to get this and that to happen? He already said that you and your household shall be saved. But you thought if I put $100 in the bucket, I'm a tie for my son's salvation. He told you that he would do it all. And he tied it to the cross and it was taught to you. But through a think tank and some desperation of men that love God in most cases. We come to a what instead of a who. But who shall roll the stone away? Amen. Who shall roll the stone away? And I'm here to tell you it's none other than Jesus Christ himself. He's already rolled the stone away in so many issues in my life. The one I told you about, my father, just one of many. Do I got some other stones? Yes. Is he going to move them? Oh, yes. Amen. I feel faith already in this room. And I want you to stand to your feet as we move to a close. Hallelujah. If you'll play something, amen. We thank the Lord, amen, for speaking today. Hallelujah. I know when this message dropped on me that I'm not speaking to the air, amen. There's stones, amen. But God is a God that is birthing faith for a reason. He'll roll the stone away the same way you got saved maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I don't know your story. But when he saved you initially, you knew something happened. You knew a stone got moved. I know I did. I used to love, especially as a boy, the song, He Touched Me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and that made so much sense because I didn't understand it. I couldn't give you an exegetical explanation, but I knew he touched me. That was because he rolled the stone away, church. He rolled a stone, and somehow through the issues of life, we get these other stones. And the sad thing about it, some of them go undetected. Some of them go undetected. And God's given an utterance to help you see. You may know where he was laid, but he already told you, as he said, he's coming out of that thing. And he told you what it was going to be. If that's you today, you don't even have to wave your hand at me. I just want us all to bow your head and pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this audience. I thank you for those listening on the internet. And I thank you for those with the CD today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your spirit can construct a message in an hour, Father, to touch your people. Lord, because you love them. That's the reason why. Lord, these needs that are so heinous in our lives at times, Father, that was the same. It never surpasses the ugliness of the cross. The cross was greater. The cross was uglier. So, Father, that proves to us that the debt was paid. That proves that it was a greater debt that was paid than even what the cost was, because it was uglier. So, Father, we put faith in that right now as a body, and we thank you. Hallelujah. And everybody just lift your hands to the Lord and start to worship him. Amen. If you have any special need of prayer right now, anything, I want you to move out of your seat and come down while the Holy Spirit is moving in here. And you may be standing in the gap for someone else. I want you to come down. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.